we're continuing. I'll just wrap up where we are up till now, the past two shirim. Past two shirim, we covered the first parak of Arot HaTshuva, where Rav Kook presents his pyramid of tshuva, the foundation being natural tshuva, tshuva tivit, split, subdivided into tivit gufanit and tivit nafshit, a healthy body and a healthy mind. So before we get even religious, the next stage is tshuva emunit, which is this tshuva that pertains to the whole world of Torah with all the endless details. And on top of that, tshuva sichlit, which is a intellectual level of tshuva. We read in the Rambam this, what this intellectual level means. And it's really tshuva me'ahava, but in order for ahava to mean anything, there has to be a certain level of intellect with it. We learned the first parak of Arot HaTshuva alongside the first parak in Musar Avicha, Rav Kook Sefer, in which Rav Kook references continuously the Mesilat Yesharim's opening statement about how there are things that we already know and we forget. And Rav Kook first discusses what is this that we already know and forget, and he answers that people know a lot of different concepts about Avodat Hashem and they know how to name drop, but a lot of times we're lacking a certain deeper level of understanding of what it is that we're really talking about, and this is because a lot of the concepts that pertain to Avodat Hashem are hard to express in human dialect, and it really has a lot to do with some type of deeper emotional, spiritual state that a person subjectively is in. Last week, so a continuation of that chapter, which is very interesting, where Cook explains how the fundamentals of serving God are something that we have in us by nature. They're the same human characteristics that every person, the most healthy people have, meaning love, hate, passion, desires, all that kind of stuff that every person is born with, and our job is to direct it and cultivate it and elevate it towards Avodat Hashem. But the fundamentals we have naturally, and the reason why God gave this to us in His loving kindness, is so we should never lose the fundamental ability to serve God, meaning you may not be doing so, but you never forget how to love, you never forget how to be afraid of things or how to be passionate about things. And the reason is because Hashem wanted us to have a strong foundation for Avodat Hashem, and our job should be just to really elevate it towards serving Hashem. And we explain, you know, why this is important to realize. It's encouraging to know, and it's important to know that we don't have to invent love and fear, and that it's really our basic human characteristics, number one. Number two, that it emphasizes and reiterates the importance for each person to serve Hashem based on the type of nature that they, their own subjective nature, and not how unhealthy it can be for people to try to conform to other people's nature in serving Hashem, because you have to use your basic human characteristics. But more importantly, Rav Kook explained explicitly how the same way that an infant's basic human characteristics only take on any type of meaning as the baby grows intellectually, meaning a baby doesn't fear anything until the baby is able to understand and process, and then a fear. A baby doesn't love things until a baby is able to intellectually reach a level where they can develop love, etc., etc., etc. So too, if we want to use these basic human characteristics, and we would like to successfully elevate them towards Avodat Hashem, we need to apply the same fundamental methodology of intellect. We need to interject it with intellect. The same way a baby's fear only means anything as it grows intellectually, so too, if we want to use our basic human fear to fear God, we need to use intellect. And that tied back into the Tshuva Sichlit, which is why the Sechel plays such an important role, because Ahavat Hashem without Sechel is basically like saying I love you to someone without knowing them, which is just vain, meaningless words. This week we move on to the second parak in Arot HaTshuva, where Rav Kook discusses Tshuva Pitamit and Tshuva Hadragatit. Here, Rav Kook is already discussing actual Tshuva itself, how it manifests itself in practicality. I brought a few other sources here which we'll go over as we go along. Kook writes as follows: L'gabei Meshech Zmana, with regard to the duration of Tshuva, and the timeline, HaTshuva mitchalekit l'shnei chalakim, Tshuva pitomit v'tshuva hadragatit. There's sudden tshuva and gradual tshuva. We probably could speculate on what this means. Hapitomit, sudden tshuva, ba mitoch ezer barak ruchani hanichas v'neshama, bepam achat mekiru et hara v'et hachiur shel achet v'nefach l'ish acher. Suddenly a person has an epiphany, and suddenly they're hit with some spirituality, and suddenly at that moment, he becomes aware of the sin and becomes a different person. Already nehafach l'shacher. Part of the problem of doing tshuva a lot of times is just, first of all, recognizing that you're doing something wrong or ceasing to deny that you're doing something wrong. And already that makes a person into someone else, because you just went from someone who was complacent and happy with who he is, and suddenly you just became someone who became really uncomfortable with who you are. At that moment, instantaneously, you already feel like a better person, meaning you haven't yet figured out how you're going to do it. If we have time later, I'll discuss that. But you really don't even have a battle plan yet, but just instantly you already feel like, hey, I'm already on the way to becoming a better person. Tshuva zuba al yidei is a hofa'ah shesgula pnimit. This is already like some type of spiritual revelation that a person has. Al yidei is a hashpa'ah nishmatit gdola, through some inner spiritual neshama, you know, epiphany. Shiro'i l'chapes et netivotea b'imkei ha'taluma, which he says is worthy of searching for the... this is basically a mystery, you know, some type of deep spiritual mystery, how something like this happens. We all know sometimes you know, we encounter someone who is chazer b'tshuva, and you know, just how did that person, what brought you from so far away to suddenly, and the person was like, I was just standing at a certain place and suddenly hit me. You know, this is something that we're familiar with, and even on our own selves, this is something which is not completely foreign at times. On the other hand, v'yeshna tshuva hadragatit, a gradual tshuva. Lo brika habrika b'kirbo. There's not any like inner flash, lehitapech min ha'omek shel hara el hatov. No, it suddenly one day it went from bad to good. Ela margishu shetzarich liyot holech v'metiv drachav v'rachot chayav. A person slowly realizes, hey, you know, you got to change things. Ritzano, your inner, with the things that you want, your desires. Helech machshavatav, the way you thought. A person realizes, I have to change my complete, the way I look at life. Ubimahalachoze, and through this pattern, holechu v'kovesh la'at la'at et derkei hayosher, slowly he gets on the right track. Mitaken et amidot, mitiv et amahasim. You improve your actions, your behavior, your characteristics, your inner characteristics. Milamedet atzmo, and then a person slowly trains themselves. Ech lehitkasher yotev yotev, how to improve themselves slowly, more, one step at a time. Ajuba lamala ramashal zekuch v'tikon, until he slowly reaches a much higher level of improvement. Now, this is, you know, objective information, and it's important always when, you know, study especially the writings of Rav Kook, which at times can be esoteric, to try to bring it down into practicality. So number one, which is better? Any thoughts? I mean, is one better than the other? I mean, who has any thoughts? I don't know. Of course, later on he gets and say which is from a different place. But the question is one of them better than the other? I mean, there are tzadim l'kan u'l'kan. You know, you could say on one hand maybe the sudden one is, you know, it brings the person to a much higher level. It's quicker, so you save time being in the whole bad process. You know, maybe it's something deeper, and the hadragatit maybe is slow and it never gets you there. On the other hand, the hadragatit maybe is healthier, and you know, a chance that it'll be long lasting. We all know. It's like sometimes you see people that flip out too fast and then they burn out and, you know, whatever. It's also important to realize that this could theoretically apply to all the different types of tshuva that we discussed in the past 2 weeks. Meaning, first, as far as healthy mind and healthy body. Yeah, a person suddenly could look in the mirror one day of just be like, you know, feeling really not good about the way they feel and be like, I immediately must stop smoking and, you know, stop drinking, stop whatever else, eating the way I need to exercise, like. And we know that there's, you know, real stories of people who overnight suddenly completely change their life, and people that slowly say, hey, I need to get healthier, and they go on some type of regimen, which takes them a year and then gets them somewhere. As far as tshuva emunit, I would think that's also, I mean, you know, it's maybe a little bit harder to imagine tshuva pitomit in tshuva emunit, meaning religious tshuva, to suddenly go from not keeping any halacha and suddenly full-fledged, but such a thing exists. There are people who are completely... maybe who were once religious and strange, and then like one day they just fully back to where they left off, conveniently. They're just like, okay, let's pick up where we left off 5 years ago and put that all in our past. And then obviously tshuva hadragatit is common in tshuva emunit. People slowly learn more Torah and they learn more details and take on constantly higher levels of religion. And the last, as far as tshuva sichlit, certainly, I mean, as far as pitomit, you really can't move too fast in tshuva sichlit, because you need to achieve a certain level of real understanding and emotional intelligence, so to speak. But even that, there could be maybe two paces where a person slowly achieves an understanding of God until he slowly falls in love with God. Or it could be something which, the same way with a human being, you could fall in love quickly, or you know, get to know a person very, very well until slowly, slowly you fall in love with them. That could exist as well. As far as which one is better than the other, before we, you know, propose any type of answer, I want to take us to a different piece that Rav Kook writes elsewhere in Orot, which is quite profound. One of the more profound pieces that I've come across. And I think it's something that we might be able to relate to, which then in turn would shed light on this this piece on Shiva, Pitamit and Shiva Dragati. Before that, on more of a pshat level, there's something in Shari Shuva here on the bottom. I apologize, I didn't write down where each thing is from. Rabbeinu Yonah brings down just different two aspects in Azivat HaChet, which theoretically, I think, could correspond in some way to Pitamit and Shiva Pitamit and Shiva Dragatit, meaning what could be the cause of Shiva Pitamit or Shiva Dragatit, and I think you could die to look over. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes, Haikara Sheni, Azivat HaChet. Rabbeinu Yonah is speaking about the different levels in Tshuva, even more phases than we're familiar with from the Rambam. He breaks the four down into subcategories, etc. He says, Azivat HaChet, Ki Azov Drachav Ha'ra'im V'Igmor B'chol Avavo Ki Lo Yosif L'Shuv B'Derech HaZeot. That's Azivat HaChet. You basically commit to not to cease and desist. Im aven pa'al lo yosef. If you sin, you stop. Kenyan shenemar shuv v'shuv midarkechem ha'ra'im v'nemar yazov v'sha darko. V'da. And now he explains how does this azivat achet manifest itself. Ki mi asher chata al derech mikre. Someone who stumbled and sinned and made a mistake. Right? But not something that's part of a regular behavioral pattern. Why did he suddenly think he tavata ava v'yachzaka lo yitzrova yitkafehu? Suddenly he's yetzer, he was stuck at this pit stop in the middle of Route 95 and he just needed Burger King, and he just gave in, and he couldn't control himself. And he just wasn't thinking. He just completely blacked out and went straight for it. And he didn't use, and he did not use his intellect and all his senses to immediately counterattack this sea of tava v'yachrav. And he caused destruction. And he fell into the trap. He didn't use his defense systems, like the ship with the defense systems. The switch was just off. The fisha atovi ito. At that moment, it just was. You know, he had the potential. He had the defense system. It just, his shield was down. And the Yetzer was just completely engulfed him instantly, and he just couldn't control himself. Not that he suddenly decided, from now on I'm going to be eating treif all day. From now on I'm going to be committing these types of sins. From now on I'm going to be stealing on a regular basis. No. He just suddenly had a moment of weakness, blacked out completely. All his senses just failed him at that moment. Reshit tshuva. So this person, how is his tshuva? Is, I apologize if it's erased. Hacharata. He immediately feels bad. Like the second he finishes the burger, whatever, he finishes committing, like his whole craze that he's in, it suddenly fades away, and he snaps out of it, and he's filled with remorse. V'lasim yagon b'libo chatato v'liot nefesh na'ana umara b'la'ana. And he's filled with remorse and pain. What the heck did I do with myself? What was I thinking? Acharei ken yosif b'chol yom yirat Hashem anafshal. And slowly it's like he's trying to get over it. Like, you know, like as though he physically fell and broke his hand. He's like healing himself. He's like, what did I do to myself? Ad asher nachon libo batuach b'Hashem. Until he's finally like, rebuilds up his defense system. Ki im yosif yavor bo hayetzev yivgisheyu, until he's like, bring it on. I'm ready to handle the yetzer now. I can face the music. Yivgisheyu bepam bepam v'rabba alav tavato kamishpat harishon. Basically, the same situation all over again. He managed to build himself up and to realize, if this ever happens, there's no way that I'm going to be asleep at the wheel. Lo yeh niftei libo alav v'yazov darko. He's not going to, lo yeh libo niftei alav, and his heart will not overcome him. V'yazov darko, and he'll leave this path of sin, I think. K'mo she'ne'emar, modev ozev yirucham. A person like this, if he leaves his path, yirucham, then Hashem accepts him. Hizkir t'chila v'modeh. First, modeh al charata v'lavido. He admits, he realizes, hey, you have to be acknowledged what you did wrong. Then, v'ozev, then you leave it. So, Rabbi Yonah here is saying how a person like, you know, you have to just acknowledge what you did wrong, and then you're ready to move on, because It was a coincidence. It was a freak accident. That happened to him. It's not something that he needs to go through intense rehab for. Like basically, the next morning he wakes like, "What did I do to myself?" However, but a person theoretically could fall into a pattern of sin. And there's obviously a correlation between the two. As if you accidentally slip enough times, the Gemara says, "Nasa lav heter." What does it mean? It's not the heter. You just become used to it enough that it's, you know, the shock effect. So there becomes no shock effect anymore. Person who has a problem that he constantly finds himself, you know, doing the wrong thing. The gever achata'av dorech b'chol yom v'shoneh b'ivalto. And he's just basically constantly trotting on this path of sin. V'shav b'merutzato gam pa'mim rabot. Not to say that it's not a weakness, but it's already to the point where it's repetitive that it's like, we need therapy. This is not just a one-time thing. V'chol et ohev ha'rea. And he's just basically finds himself infatuated with this bad. U'michshol avano yasim nochach panav. Meaning, what is it, and this trap, this in front of him, is constantly in front of him. Meaning, he constantly is faced with this tav and yetzer that's not controllable. That's just the reality, which takes a certain level of intellectual maturity to acknowledge it and say, hey, okay, once upon a time this was a mistake. Now this is already a pattern that I need to get help for. And it basically, there's no holding back, there's no breaks. He sins constantly. He still obviously didn't lose awareness that something is wrong, but this is already a pattern. So this type of person, the person obviously has to stop what he's doing. Then he has to start his rehab. That's the next line. He first has to stop sinning. This person needs to like completely repair his path and his inner system, his defense system. He's got to, you know, recharge them. This person already, his machshava needs to be fixed. Was the guy who just basically, phew, I made a mistake. All right, fixed. We're back. Everything's going to be okay. But this guy, his thinking actually became corrupt, and that's what he needs to fix. So I think that on a pshat level, there could be a correlation between pitomit and hadragati. Just pitomit is maybe more for someone who, it's not necessarily true. I mean, just one of the possible explanations is pitomit could be applicable theoretically for the first type of person. Maybe it's easier to experience tshuva pitomit if it's something which is not necessarily true. It's, I don't want to restrict it to this, but it's a once in a, you know, you made a mistake once, tshuva pitomit, oh my gosh, how do I get out of this? Tshuva hadragatit may be something which is more commonly found in people that are engaged in a much deeper pattern of misbehavior where they need to improve this through a longer process. So that's on a more of a superficial level. In Orot, Rav Kook writes something here about, he discusses, we're going to read now, the constant search that people have for godliness and the challenge to find godliness, because as we've discussed a number of times till now, godliness is something that's just not tangible. And as we've also discussed, it's nice to talk about things that don't really have any meaning. So I can keep saying godliness doesn't really mean anything. I could say we need to love and we need to have a relationship with Hashem. These are all words which, in the end of the day, are hollow words that don't have meaning unless we have some type of, there's a subliminal dialogue here where we understand each other kind of without the actual English or Hebrew words containing the content of what these words mean. And Rav Kook discusses the catch-22, basically here, about our quest for some type of deeper relationship with God, whatever that means. Rav Kook writes as follows. From a psycho-spiritual point of view, Rav Kook defines an axiom, and he says, people need to be godly. You know, from a very subjective, biased Torah point of view, considering the fact that God did create us, we may search all around the world for many different ways to satiate our man's quest for meaning in life. However, we are never going to find true restitude unless we find our spiritual niche. And, you know, like any type of person, any type of professional who looks at things from a particular perspective, a mathematician, a scientist, you know, financial analyst, Rav Kook is looking at this from a psycho-spiritual point perspective, and he's defining that, basically, his opening statement is that it's going to be hard for a person to ever find real restitute unless you find some type of spiritual niche. Rav Kook writes as follows. Yifshar limtzol ma'amad mevusas laruach ki'im ba'avir ha'elohi. A person will not find spiritual rest, restitute, a niche, ma'amad mevusas laruach, ki'im ba'avir elohi. I mean, there's different, many types of spiritual niches that people look for, not necessarily religious, anything to do with the world of spirit, of some type of something beyond the material existence. Cook says the only place where we're really going to be relaxed and potentially is Avir HaElohi. Why? Human beings, our HaYidiyah, HaHargasha, HaDimyon, VaHachefetz, VaHatnuot, HaPnimiyot, VaHitzeniyot Shalahem, man's knowledge, feelings, our everything about us, our imaginations, our fantasies, our inner and outer existent movements. Kulamas kikimet bnei adam shiyu Elohim dafka. By definition, we are created by God, and we need to, everything about us is godly. So we need to find God in order for all the aspects of our life to kind of have some type of relaxed state to them. Az yimtzuit miluam. Then we will find our meaning in life and our balance, our balance when not some type of balance which is not miniyach hadat, which also exists. People find some type of religious niche, but it's not spiritual or other type which are not miniyach hadat, certainly not in the long term. And you know, there's no price tag that you can put. You know, people can search for this their whole life and never find this type of relaxation. People constantly find like something's just not right, and it's priceless. MasterCard commercial. Finding your spiritual niche, priceless. And Rav Kook says that people could theoretically try to settle for less than this. Some people are, as they say in Hebrew, mivater la'atzmam. Say, all right, you know, this is not for me. I'm going to go through the motions. You know, I'm not going to transgress halacha, but I'm not looking for any deep spiritual trip in life. And if, by the way, just for the record, he's not talking about to be trippy or anything like that. To each person, the godliness can manifest itself in many different ways. Certainly, Rav Kook expects there to be a high level of intellect. However, if man attempts to settle for less than this greatness, then you're thrown around like a ship at sea. Galim sa'arim mitnagdim zelezeh. Clashing waves, yadrichu tamid minucha, are constantly going to be what's guiding you to find rest. One day you have this thing, and next day you're looking for that, and then you have this fad of the month and that fad of the month, and constantly looking for which celebrity to run after and to find some type of, you know, relaxation in life, namely spiritual relaxation. Migal al gal yutal, you're thrown from wave to wave, v'lo yidash alev, and you're not going to find. And we see there are people that there's a whole industry that flourishes on people's inability to find their spiritual niche in life, and they, you know, for the low price of 180 shekel a month, you can apply to many different programs that will fix your neshama, that'll do this, that are different types of Kabbalah classes and everything. The world is looking for this. The question is, you know, are we on the right, are we surfing on the right wave, or are we just smashing around in the middle of this sea of wishy-washy clashes? In Yuchal, and that's one thing. And also, of course, I should have underlined this also because it's another phase. Sometimes what do people do? They're like, you're right, it's too hard. So I'm going to block this out completely. I'm just going to immerse myself in materialism, in a, you know, a home theater and every type of, you know, new game and materialistic, you know, supreme surrounding. And I will try to block out, you know, my need for spirituality, which works also for a certain amount of time. If a person indeed can suddenly submerge himself in a refesh aveh, like a thicket of gasut haruach vavyut hargasha, meaning thick fogginess and materialistic glob, the lack of a better word, just complete, you know, the opposite of spirituality. You indeed could theoretically block out the need for spirituality. Sometimes you look at people, say, don't they, you know, people like completely infatuated with certain elements of materialism. Not that there's a materialism. Rav Kook is the least of the last person to say that there's no purpose in materialism. Rav Kook is certainly, you know, very much in belief that materialism is here to serve us and serve our service of God. But see, basically, like, isn't there anything else that they also want in life? And the answer is no. Sometimes a person could block themselves out and completely, you know, infatuate themselves with materialism. However, but it's only lemeshech zman. What will happen? This is it. I got, you know, the jeep I was waiting for. I got this I was waiting for. I got the woman I was waiting for. I got the food I was waiting for. This is the life. And get bored. Now what? Take on extreme rock climbing, and then this, you know, constant, it's got to be something. Tick-tock, tick-tock. The spirit breaks through, it's like a volcano erupting. And the intertwining craziness, madness, will start all over again. Bottom line is, Rav Kook says, to find relaxation in life, it is ba'elohim. It's not ba'elohim in a fanatic, extreme way that blocks out anything earthly, but that is the core. Now is where the problem is. That's nice to say. And I'm sure it would sound like an interesting shiur if we just stopped right now. Wow, it sounds, you know, wow, nice. What do you do with this? So Rav Kook first makes it a little bit worse before he makes it better. Now here's the problem. A long sentence, I'll read the whole thing and then I'll go back. Aval ha'elohim halo lemala mikol ha'mitziut asher yuchal likanes b'kibenu mimenu ezeregesh v'rayonhu. Aval ha'elohim, God, halo lemala mikol ha'mitziut, he's beyond any type of digestible reality. Mikol ha'mitziut asher yuchal likanes b'kibenu mimenu ezeregesh v'rayonhu. God is not tangible. We're talking about, oh, the only way for you to find rest in life is through godliness. Great, but God is not tangible. So what are you exactly suggesting? That we should constantly run after something that is not really there? Which is, by the way, a great marketing ploy, because I'm constantly telling you, if you just one more thing and you'll get there. So, you know, you'll always have clients. V'chol mashehu lamala, and for us human beings, anything that's beyond our grasp, v'chol mashehu lamala mikol regesh v'rayon banu, hu le'erkenu, as far as we're concerned, for our value, ayin ve'efes. For us, it's ayin. It's like nothing. It's thin air. Uba ayin ve'efes lo tuchal hadat lenuach. How exactly is my dot going to be noach? How do you expect me to find mental peace and spiritual peace in something that's not tangible, that I cannot obtain? Which is why, Rav Kook says, you'll find a lot of times burnt out God seekers who just, at some point, just they fry their, I don't know if their brains, they just, their system gets wired, because how long could this go on? A lot of times you'll find that you're just spiritually wiped out because they're constantly looking for something which is not obtainable. And he explains why. When a person finally, it's like we don't have so many spiritual moments in life. So once a year, once every half a year, we have this moment like, all right, I feel it. Right now, it could be any time. It could be a random moment on the train, or it could be a Neil and Yom Kippur. This is it. I'm really yearning for the big light. I see the angels waving at me. This is my moment. When a person finally finds himself yearning for the greater light, not the regular stuff that they're used to on every day, they're looking for that special light. At that moment, Einamis tapeket bo toha or hanimtza meha tzedek gambaha masima yoter tovim. You are suddenly you became picky. Suddenly the beggars became choosers. Now I'm super spiritual. Now nothing is enough for me. I need to find, suddenly I look at everything around me. No one's good enough for me. No davening is good enough for me. No shir is good enough for me. Nothing is enough. I need to go on a cave, on a mountaintop. That sounds right. Let me think of some other, a shofar maybe would look good. A kittel maybe. Something that sounds interesting, and maybe a little rasta. Something to make it seem like also interesting. Suddenly, the or hanimtza mehatzedek gamba masim hayoter tovim, just plain masim tovim, like good old plain mitzvot, or maybe a little chesed, nah, that's not enough. I need something more special. Lo beoto haor hanimtza mehaemet, and not even in the light of justice, afilu ba limudim hayoter burim, even in the highest levels of learning. Suddenly, dafyomi, I need something. I need Kabbalah, practical Kabbalah. Suddenly, Gemara, Chumash, nah, it's not halacha, nah, halal is too detailed for me. I need something that's in heaven. By the way, parenthetically, Rav Kook's the words he uses, the tzedek and the emet, for sure there's a meaning why. I am probably lacking the knowledge myself, and the time right now to go into take apart each character, why Rav Kook uses the word tzedek, where he uses it, and why emet, etc., etc. And not in the beauty, v'lo b'hayofi, what? V'lo b'hayofi, afilu b'chezionot hayoter mufarim. And suddenly the most beautiful visions in the world, the things that a normal person would normally find of some level of inspiration. Nothing is enough. Az mitnavel ha'olam be'ne'ah. The whole world, planet Earth. I don't belong on planet Earth. I'm an angel with wings that are stapled to my back. If only I could fly.
He called Kachmit Rachevet Dikibar. Suddenly, a person's neshama is disproportionately inflated with inside their body. Acha olam kulo im kol gashmiyutol v'ruchaniyutol gam yachad. Wash out the baby with the bath rod. Suddenly, the entire the whole world with its materialism and spirituality, im kol giluya v'achomrim v'ruchaniim, all the material and spiritual revelations. It's like you're suffocating. Nidmela lebei akta is suddenly like too claustrophobic. V'avirona sela machnak. Suddenly. Finally, you had this moment of inspiration, but your body can't handle it. It's not for planet Earth. And Rav Kook says, what's the problem here? Hey, mevakshim mashu lemala mikocham. These people suddenly find themselves yearning for something which is way beyond their where they're holding. Mashu lumatam ayin, which is something which is basically just thin air. It's non-existent. It's intangible. Rav Kook says, v'lahafoch ein liyesh. Ein yicholet gam baratzon lirtzot. They say ein davar omed b'fnei ratzon. Who says I have news for you? There are some things that are omed b'fnei ratzon. Impossible things, things that you can't turn nothing into something. Even if you really, really want, you really, really want to serve God like an angel, you're not going to succeed because you're not an angel. So if you really, really want to serve God, but you want to do it in a way that you may have a chance of succeeding, as we'll see, Rav Kook says soon, then you have to learn how to serve Him like a human. Because if you want to, if your desires are something which are completely not applicable to where you are, even your ratzon won't help. And this is why we find that a lot of times the God-searching people are very, very wiped out. Al-Kain, as we said before, yichlash lefamim koach ha-ratzon. Even the willpower, eventually you just lose the entire drive altogether. They're called oza chayim, and even the whole fervor. People that are searching for God. So it's a catch-22. If you don't search for God, Rav Kook says, you're missing the boat. You're never really going to feel relaxed. You know, you could either constantly be bounced around like a pinball. You could try to submerge yourself in materialism, but you really need to find God. However, by the way, God is completely not tangible, which makes it very difficult to digest and grab onto. And if already you have experienced a moment of spiritual awakening and epiphany, guess what? It's probably going to lead you into a place where you're just going to get more burnt out because you can't even attain God altogether. So, thank you, Rav Kook, for this, you know, for depressing us, at least before Rosh Hashanah. Maybe we could do something. However, Kook ends with some practical advice, which we will try then to tie back into where we left off. Kook says, "Tzarich laharot et haderech, ech nichnasim ele traklim derech hashar." We always say how this world is like the prosdor before the traklim, and I've mentioned in the first year when we spoke about Tshuva Gufanit, a lot of times people like to bash the guf, they like to bash earth, they like to bash the Olam Hazeh, which is only a prosdor to Olam Haba, and you know the prosdor to Olam Haba, the foyer to a palace is usually pretty nice also, and it serves a purpose. It helps you get into the palace. The body, without the body, you can't serve God. So the body obviously must have some holy function as well. Kook says we need to show the way. How do you enter the palace through the gate, not crashing through the walls, which is impossible? Through the gate. What is the gate? Hashar hu Elohut Amidgale ba Olam, in this world. Okay, give a person a little pinch on the cheek, a pat on the back, and say, or yourself, and say, it's really nice that you're all spiritual right now. Use it in a practical way, which is in this world. Ba'olam b'chol yofyo b'hadaro, b'chol ruach v'neshama, b'chol chai v'remes, in every creature in this world, b'chol tzemach v'perach, in every aspect of nature, b'chol goy v'mamlacha, anything in this world, all the nations of the world, b'yam v'galav, Rav Kook goes, breaks off into a whole poetic repertoire here, b'shafi rei shachagu b'hadrat amarot, which I'm sure each one of these words have some type of esoteric meaning, which I don't have the ability to go into. Shafi rei shachagu b'hadrat amarot, all the beauty and the splendor in this world, b'kishronot kol siach, in any talent that you find in this world, whether it's poetry or literature or science or math, etc., b'rayonot kol sofer, in the ideas of any poet, b'dimyonot kol mishorer, or of any author, or the thoughts of any mishorer, maybe as a poet, it would be more applicable. Any types of the thoughts, or behigyonot kol choshev, or the ideas of any innovative philosopher. Thank you. Ubehargashat kol margish, or the senses of any censor, meaning any ubesarat gvurash kol gibor, any valor. Rav Kook said, there's enough godliness in this world to find. You don't have to, don't go through, suddenly nothing is good enough for you, nothing in this world, no aspect of nature. You need to find some type of, you know, of course there's enough going on in this world that if you just have the right pair of glasses on and you're looking at the world in the right way, you could find God in this world. And then you can actually be relaxed. Rav Kook says, the highest level of godliness that we yearn for. Tshuva sichlit, maybe meaning really being in love with God, not in a superficial level, I'm in love with you. Really on an intellectual level, which is combined of having a healthy body and a healthy mind, and being religiously and stick to all the nitty-gritty details of halacha and the all-encompassing details of the Torah, and to be this type of godliness which we yearn for, to become engulfed. Rav Kook spoke about how you have to, the Rambam spoke about, we read in Hilchot Teshuvah Perek Yud, person has to be infatuated with God. In its light, this godliness that we want, meaning at the end of the day, I believe most people that maybe are having a challenge, any type of challenge in religion, is not because necessarily they hate God, it's because they've failed in finding a type of godliness that they can fall in love with. So it's hard to stick to all the rules and the do's and the don'ts and the whole, to stick to the framework of godliness if you're not in love with something, if you don't want to do it. So the one that we really want to leha sefel ra, but we can't seem to find satiation for this passion. If we learn to look for it within earth, within our human lives, then we can draw it into this world. We can find it and actually enjoy ourselves and find that niche that Rav Kook spoke about before, which at first started to seem as though it was getting further and further away from us. You actually can find peace of mind, but peace of spirit in this world. However, yes, there is a certain purpose for this type of spiritual blast. That is a healthy thing. It has a purpose as well. V'lifrakim, sometimes, tafkideinu, the barak elyon, Miziv shel mala, me'or elyon, shepoel, shemeal kol rayon v'machshava. Sometimes there is a certain purpose for shock treatment, to have some type of flash of heavenly light, which is beyond anything comprehensible. To have the same way with a human being, sometimes you can love a person and have with moments of love without any comprehensible reason. Hashamayim niftachim v'anu ro'im marot Elohim. And suddenly we see visions of God, which is good every now and then to get a little shock to the system. However, we need to know with our minds, not to forget that this is temporary. That's not a way to serve God. That's a bonus for serving God. Habarak yachlof, the flash will pass. We'll no longer be. Sometimes we get flashes into the Echal Hashem, where literally we can experience, have an outer body experience. But part of having an outer body experience is that you remember that it's an outer body experience, that at some time you need to have an inner body experience and go back to being normal. Taking this back to where we left off with Tshuva Pitomit and Tshuva Hadragatit. And it's always nice, by the way, to be able to explain Rav Kook from within his own writings. So the answer of which is the appropriate way, so number one, just from a psychological point of view, it would seem probable to propose that both. It's not that one is better than the other. There are different types of people, and I think that our tshuva needs to be consistent of both. We need to have, you know, spiritual blast. We need to be inspired. Sometimes you need a catalyst, you know, the enabler to get things moving, to get, you know, the shock started. And at the same time, we need to understand that we need to serve God as human beings on planet Earth. So combining both, I think that there is both. There's tshuva, aside from what Rabbeinu Yonah said, which is more on a practical level, like, you know, if you have a habit that you're involved in, you need to crack that habit, which may take longer. A one-time mistake is maybe it's you fix more in a blast. But just our tshuva is probably both. There are certain things which are probably smarter and healthier to do gradually. Not because you're being lax, because you want it to be long-lasting. And there are certain things which, you know, I think part of also the art is if and when a person does have a blast of Elohut Elyonah, like Rav Kook mentioned in Orot, then we need, that's a good time to try to work on some Tshuva Pitomit. Rav Kook is talking about Orot Tshuva. Those moments that you have are meaningless if you don't do something with it. I think Rav Soloveitchik speaks about that if you have something, you have to have operative Tshuva. If you're already lucky enough to have an epiphany like that, remember that it's an outer body experience and you need to go back to having an inner body life, but also quickly do something with it so there'll be something left of it and not just some literally blast from the past. Closing, and this is Rav Kook ends, and there are two ways to back on the top right side of the last part, which is the better tshuva. So I'll read it first, and then I'll give two explanations that I've seen this explained, and what I think may be more leaning towards the truth, in my humble opinion. Hatshuva ha'elyona, the highest level of tshuva, the better level of tshuva, ba mehavrakash al atova kali, from like this flash of the general good in the world. Shehatov Elohi, meaning a person. I'll tell you beforehand because it'll be easier to explain. I've seen this explained as though Rav Kook is deciding between the first two, meaning the Pitomin and the Hadragati, which one is the higher one. And it would seem, at first glance, that Teshuva El Yonah, Rav Kook is referring to the first one. The Teshuva Pitomin comes from a higher, more special place in heaven, which it seems consistent with everything we've learned. However, I've seen also, I read once a booklet, Shlomo Karlbach gave classes on Arot HaTshuva, and so I printed it, and I think I saw it in that book, where he explained that Teshuva El Yonah is the third type of Teshuva, which I think might be true, because it would seem to go comparable with Perek Aleph, the three levels of Teshuva, of Teshuva Tivit, Teshuva Emunit, and Teshuva Sichlit. I think that it would go together, meaning that that the Pitomit could theoretically be like a TV kind of Teshuva, ironic as it is, because it's the most not TV thing, that a person suddenly says, what's the matter with me? I've become a disgusting human being, I'm unhealthy, and suddenly to do pitomi. Teshuva Hadragatit may be a little bit more practically comparable to Teshuva Emunit. It's hard to suddenly one day say, I'm going to be the best religious Jew in the world. You just need to do a lot of learning. Ein Amar, it's chassid, it's a long process to become religiously from, so to speak. And Teshuva El Yonah, I think, may be on some level comparable to Teshuva Sichlit. It's already more of falling in love with God on an intellectual level. And we'll see what he says. Teshuva El Yonah, Ba'a Mehavraka Shel HaTov HaKlali. Basically, a person suddenly becomes exposed to the good in the world, and you just want to be a good person and being associated with the right things in the world. Shel HaTov HaElohi HaShura Ba'Olamot Kulam, Or Chaya Olamim. Personally, it's just like you become exposed to the good. You just, like a very feel-good type of a tshuva. Like, it's not so much about me, hey, I've been doing this wrong, let me fix myself immediately, or let me fix myself slowly. This is not about fixing yourself. This is just about suddenly you wake up and you're a better person. You just, who is that guy? Who was I then? What was I? Nishmat Kol Ha'atzilit. The Rav Kook coins this phrase, the Nishmat Kol, like the neshama of mankind, meaning just, I think he's referring to just the godliness in this world, of earth, like the neshama of earth. Ha'atzilit, the noble godliness in this world. Mitztayeret lefaneinu behodavik dushata. Suddenly we just become exposed to something just greater and more beautiful than where we are. Kama shalev yacholu spoke to whoever you're holding in life, you know, and suddenly you realize that there's good in the world. V'halo be'emet hakol hu tov yashar kol kach. That suddenly, you know, this is like a very type of trippy-ish tshuva, where a person suddenly feels like everything is good in the world, and you just want to be part of the good. It's not so much about leaving the bad, how fast you leave the bad, or how gradually. It's about suddenly wanting to be part of the winning team. V'hayoshir v'atov shebanu. And whatever good that we have in us, you realize, Allahu bami hat amateinu el hakol. You realize that all the good in us, the good in our lives, is because of how much we're plugged into godliness in this world. To the extent that we're happy, is a lot of times to the extent that we're spiritually in tune. It may be combined of other factors also. That's a major key element. The echef sharliot karam in hakol. You don't want to live like this severed, you know, dust in the wind. Parur umishuneh mufrad kavak dak shekelon echshav. Like, you don't want to be like a non-connected flake blowing in the wind. Umitocha karazu, and this level, which obviously this is some type of, like, you just fall in love with godliness in this world, which is probably similar to tshuva sichlit. You know, which, reiterating again, that Rav Kook doesn't mean this in a superficial, trippy sense. He means this in a intellectual sense. It comes with really understanding God and falling in love with Him on an intellectual level. That's how real tshuva can be achieved, not just from constantly wanting to leave the bad through whichever, whether through it's an epiphany or through rehab, or how through an outer body experience or an inner body experience or a flash or whatever, or smack in the face. This is more just about wanting to just be good. And sometimes we have that. Sometimes it's not so much about us having remorse. Sometimes you just get a feeling you just want to do something good, or you just want to daven to Hashem for no apparent reason. It doesn't have to. It happens often.
So, there's no explanation if this is sudden or the third. If we're saying it's a third tshuva, it doesn't say anything about the period.
Right. No, I'm saying, I've seen it explained that some people say that tshuva, you know, Rav Kook is presenting too and saying like the pitomit. He's explaining like more in depth what the flash is. It seems to me that it's really a third, and I think it could have some type of parallel to the Perek Aleph of Avodah Tshuva. So to sum it up, basically,
to recap in 60 seconds, we discussed in this second parak of this, how tshuva actually plays out in reality. This sudden tshuva and then this gradual tshuva. The sudden tshuva is a person just is like, what the heck is wrong with me? What am I? This, and you have some like flash that goes into you, and you basically at that moment you already turn into another person. How you're going to do it is secondary. I'm there already. You know, a lot of times we don't make it there, but conceptually, I'm there already. Then you have the second gradual tshuva, where you need to improve your midot, and you have a regimen and a program, and you follow a schedule. On a very, very practical level, Rabbeinu Yonah discusses how someone who is, as far as azivat achet, if it's a one-time mistake that you make, so it's you just need to snap out of it, so to speak. If a person is found themselves engaged in habitual sin, then it's a longer process. That's just a little bit pitomi and hadragati that could apply in a practical sense. As far as the whole spiritual workings behind this, we brought down this long parak from Orot in Zeronim and Simon Lechai, where Rav Kook discusses about he psycho-spiritually analyzes man and defines how human being, because we're godly, we need to find godliness to find some type of peace of mind. The challenge being that godliness is not tangible. Something that's not tangible is kind of hard to grasp onto, especially if you want to tell me that's the only way to find rest in this world. Which is often why we'll find God-seeking people just burnt out, because they're like a rat in a wheel constantly trying to run after something that's not obtainable. And the problem is that because they become a little bit spoiled, the beggars suddenly become choosers, suddenly your neshama gets so inspired that it's looking for an out-of-body experience, and you're still inner body. And the answer, of course, says the cure for that is to, when you have that moment, to bring it down into an inner body experience and to look for God, not outside, in earth, and the godliness will come down within earth and manifest itself. However, there are certain times when there is a use and a benefit to having spiritual flashes, but we need to remember that there are outer body experiences, and you know, and it's outer body; it's not long lasting, and we need to, and it's temporary, and we will at some point go not be exit from the Heichal Hashem into the Chatzrat Hashem, back to the last level of tshuva, which I think is a third level. Rav Kook is saying, not so much about pitomi and hadragati, where suddenly you flash out of tshuva, or it's gradual. There's like the third level, which is kind of like tshuva sichlit, where you just, it's not so much about leaving your past, it's more just about you're looking forward, and you're just like dust. You don't want to be dust in the wind, you don't want to be disguised, you just want to be part of the right thing, and that's where you're headed. So on a practical level, I guess it helps us to know that, number one, to focus on, there are these two types of tshuva. How to use these spiritual moments that we have, and to understand that, you know, we have to bring it down into earth. And just on a tshuva level, there are certain components of tshuva which can and should be done in a flash. And if you don't do it, that's the thing. The things that could be done pitomi, and you don't use pitomi, you're losing out on whatever you could accomplish. Vice versa, things that should be hadragati, and you don't do a hadragati, you're also probably ruining yourself, because you will end up getting burnt out.